Hello, respective viewers. Here I am in Merton College, Oxford, founded by Walter de Merton in 1264. So, claims to be the oldest college in Oxford University, but that's disputed by UNIV, founded 1249, and Balliol, founded 1263. How on earth can it be the oldest when it's 15 years younger than UNIV? Or 15 years newer, perhaps I'll say. Well, that's partly because it had statutes, and they say, oh, you're not a proper college unless you have statutes, as in a document stipulating the governance of the college. The other thing is it was self-governing, in as much as the warden and the fellows, they were the ones controlling it, which wasn't the case with UNIV and Balliol initially. University College is commonly known as UNIV. So Walter de Merton, he was the Bishop of Rochester. He was Chancellor to King Henry III and later to his son, Edward I, as in Edward I was Henry III's son. Walter de Merton, being a Catholic priest, obviously having taken vows of celibacy, had no offspring. So the Chancellor was the King's chief minister. There's no Prime Minister, but that's the equivalent, in charge of the King's writing department, because, of course, the King received hundreds of letters a day and all sorts of documents about court rulings and tax, who'd pay this and that. And so there was far too much for the King to deal with. There was a Lord Chancellor. Obviously, the Chancellor or Lord Chancellor couldn't deal with it all himself, and had a whole department, the Chancery. That's why he's in a font called Chancery. So dozens of clerks under him. It's all in Latin in those days. But anyway, so the bishop amassed a lot of money, and he found this for education, the advancement of religion. And he retired in 1273, and he changed the statues a little bit. I'm not sure if he's buried here, but Merton, because he's from Merton, that area, these days part of London, those are days considered just outside London. There's a front quadrangle. You see there's the Porter's Lodge, Porter's being the security guards. That is the main entrance. Anyway, so going on to here is the hall, as in the dining room, which is closed to visitors. You can see right up high some grotesques to ward off evil spirits. And there used to be a sign near the door about Airy Neave, that guy who was a martyr for freedom, murdered by the INLA for defending democracy in Northern Ireland. An old attorney, I'm pleased to say, a hero of the Second World War, escaped from Colditz and all the rest of it. He's murdered in 1979, just before his friend and confidant Margaret Thatcher became Prime Minister. He was a fellow Conservative, so he'd had some sort of role in the JCR of the Hall when he was an undergraduate here in the 1930s. I remember reading a book by Airy Neave when I was at school and actually managing to touch something that he touched, his pen had touched, my finger was on the ink. So wow, I physically connected with him. So going on to Mob Quad, I'm not sure it's called Mob Quad, and this is the oldest quadrangle here. So this was finished shortly after the college was founded and is the oldest quadrangle in Oxford University. UNIV has moved site. UNIV was initially on the site that Brasenose occupies, and Balliol's quadrangles, I mean, I think that all dates from the 19th century, even though the college is much older. So this is pretty small, because when they founded it, everybody would be able to fit in here. Remember, the undergraduates and the dons, they all lived in. And obviously religion was at the heart of the college's mission. Chapel was compulsory until the 19th century. Obviously, it was a Roman Catholic college initially from the 1530s, an Anglican one, and then 1553 went back to Catholicism, only for 5 years, back to Anglicanism as in the Church of England. Now, since 1871, the University Test Act, it became religiously neutral. I mean, yes, there is a chapel, and there is an Anglican clergyman, or is it even a clergywoman these days? But they admit undergraduates without discrimination. Everyone has an equal opportunity to study here. So nominally, it's linked to this Church of England. And as religion's not very important in the life of the college, you never have to set foot in the chapel if you don't want to. There is the chapel. It's enormous. I'll go in there later. Apart from Christchurch, which is also a cathedral, Christchurch Chapel, is this the biggest one in Oxford. So, yeah, the undergraduates and the dons all lived in until 1871. And obviously, when the Reformation came, Church of England priests are usually permitted to wed, but not fellows of Oxford colleges. Usually, there are very few exceptions. The head of house was allowed to marry, because it was a total lifestyle. It was a sort of 7-day-a-week thing. You did your lectures here, ate your meals here, though you went to some lectures that were shared with other colleges of the university. And if you did really well as an undergraduate, they'd offer you a fellowship and you'd stay here to the day you died, buried under the floor of the chapel. Okay, but most of them graduated. A lot of them were holy orders until the early 20th century. At least 25% of people were ordained who graduated from Oxford University. And others became civil servants or lawyers or accountants and architects, went into business, went back to run their family estates because, yeah, I mean, until the 19th century, really had to be upper class to afford to come here. Well, there were a few servitors, as in poorer undergraduates, who paid their way by being servants to the wealthy. And when I say they're poor, they're probably still middle class, because, of course, the working class hardly got to go to school. Okay, oh, the seat of honour, look, it says sedes honoris. And various names are Anthony Nuttall, the famous philosopher. Okay. All right, and there's Merton Walk, lead on to Merton Field. So I have been here. I used to have lectures here, sorry, tutorials here as an undergraduate with Dr. Waller, Philip Waller. I'm sure long since retired. He used to smoke in tutorials. Unthinkable these days. So it's this open doors weekend. I can go around. Yes, these really are undergraduates' bedrooms in there and some postgraduates. So they got over 500 students. Undergraduates are a slight majority. There are some graduate-only colleges. This is not one of them. So famous people who studied here, Lord Randolph Churchill, as in the father of Winston. A bit surprised he came here because Etonians used to go to Christchurch overwhelmingly. And look at these pine cones here, okay? So we're looking out onto, this is Merton Field, but they actually let Christchurch Cathedral School, that school for boys aged 7 to 13, use it beyond at Christchurch Meadow, yeah. Wow, it's very fragrant. So I'm getting this delightful aroma of the plants, how pleasing. And look at this little garden. What are they growing there? Is it rhubarb? Monstrous, monstrous. Okay. Who else apart from Wen here? The accursed Liz Truss was an undergraduate here in the mid-90s when she's president of the Oxford University Liberal Democrats Association. So there's the Irvine Memorial, okay? It's designed for that student who went with George Mallory to conquer Everest and died in 1924. This is put up for the centenary of that. It's meant to look like a flame or something like that. They now think that they actually made it because they went up in that expedition in 1924 and they never came back. And subsequent investigations have made people think that they actually did get to the summit but just died on the way down. Obviously, it's not till June 1953 that, Sir Edmund Hillary, the New Zealander, conquered Everest and got back to break the news. The news reached the United Kingdom on the day of Elizabeth II's coronation. And the United Kingdom was celebrated as a British victory. Even though he's actually a New Zealander. But of course, back in those days, people perceived New Zealand as little more than an adjunct of the United Kingdom. And I know New Zealand sells itself as very much a distinct and independent nation, which it is. Okay, but the Commonwealth was still thought to be meaningful back in those days. Okay, so I don't know what this gazebo thing is about here. So, where you can be semi-outside in the summer. And it's one of the ground floor rooms here that I had my tutorials in. So this very pleasing sort of local stone you see in lots of Cotswolds villages. So it's all human scale, nothing more than 4 stories high. Of course, to the 19th century, to those metal girders, it was very difficult to build anything more than, say, 6 stories high. And there were no lifts, so you didn't want to walk up and down too many flights of stairs. Remember, people often didn't have piped water till the late 19th century, so you didn't want to carry buckets of water up and down too much, or buckets of anything else. From your bedroom. And here we go. So what else might you want to know? Who studied here? Oh, Emperor Naruhito of Japan and his daughter Aikiko. So I think a disproportionate number of Japanese people studying here. And who else? J.R.R. Tolkien. He retired here and lived here for the 2 years before his death in 1973. But he lived in one of the rooms on Merton Street, which is just outside. Anyone else notable? Of course, Thomas Stearns Eliot, T.S. Eliot, came here during the First World War. He graduated from Harvard. And then the was the middle common room for postgraduates. Did they pass a motion, or they narrowly failed to pass a motion saying there was excessive American influence in Oxford? Well, rather unwelcoming to him. So there we go. What a lovely, quirky place. Yeah, more onto Merton Field. And you see the rugger posts there. So that school was founded to provide a choir for Christchurch Cathedral, Unbroken Voices, because, of course, women weren't permitted to sing in church initially. And then the school was educating the boys in all sorts of subjects. And then they said, OK, boys can attend Christchurch Cathedral School even if they're not choristers. And the great majority of them are not choristers, and that's it. I still think it's all boys. And here we are. I remember the old days, security was very lax. You could walk into any college, nobody minded. And look at this sundial thing. So this is a bit of the old city walls. It will be a little bit above it. So this is the southern edge of the medieval city. So I'm not sure how and when the college expanded this far. Anyway, how highly delightful it is. What an island of tranquility. And here. here we are. And that's Dead Man's Walk beneath us, leading to Old Jewry, the Jewish quarter of the city. Closed down when, was it Edward III expelled the Jews from the country? But leading on to the Royal Botanic Gardens, which is over that away, and that was a Jewish graveyard for centuries. And then it became a sort of a physic garden, growing herbs for the hospital across the street, which later became Magdalen about 1481. Okay, so more of Christchurch Field. Sorry, not Christchurch, Merton Field. And beyond that is Christchurch Meadow, beyond those trees. So we see what it's like. Okay. I'd forgotten just how big this garden is. I've not been here for over 20 years. Well, goodness gracious me. Anyway, I do so like having a lot of green space in the middle of a city. Yeah, so the gardens have been much more extensive than the Oxford College, but they built over them in the 20th century as the university overexpanded. It was 16,000 when I came up. It's now 26,000 and growing. You know, before the Second World War, it was 4,000. The late 19th century, it was 2,000. You go back to about 1600, about 1,000. I mean, obviously, that'd be far too few. So this college went mixed in 1979. Yeah, anyone else notable? Some scientists whom I've never even heard of attended this place. Not quite my bag. So, you're getting a feel for the place. Elysian, think you not? And then over that away, you can see, so they own properties on the other side of Merton Street. And then some of the place over here belongs to UNIV as a university college. There's the philosophy library, which is, you know, for the philosophy faculty shared by all 39 colleges of the university and so on. So there'll be a junior common room for the undergraduates to socialise, a middle common room for the postgraduates, a senior common room for the Don. So Don comes from Dominus, as in master in Latin. Those who actually lecture here, because the title professor is relatively unusual, is very exalted. They often be like prelector or a junior research fellow or whatever else it is. And then you see up high their coat of arms and the gold background, the red and blue chevrons. Okay. Hello, are we allowed up here?
Yes. No,
yes. Yeah. Okay, good, thank you. What are the college?
All around, it'll take you back to the chapel.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Oh wow, look at the handiwork, like the leaves. Fuck it, as in do it, not something rude. Deum God, okay. Oh, I know, it's. I'm reading it backwards now, but it's got the college's motto. Okay, whoever fears God does good, yeah? So, looking very 19th century to me, yeah. Qui, as in who or whom. So this isn't usually here. I'm loving it. So it's an Ombuds quadrangle because there used to be St. Albans Hall, but then that was closed down. And John Henry Newman, who used to be vice principal of that St. Albans Hall, anyway, is absorbed into Merton in the late 19th century. So it was an academic hall rather than a college, the university, so still part of it. I mean, what's the difference between them? I mean, the difference is largely academic, as in theoretical. There isn't much difference in my mind. Oh, right. The Benefactor's Arch, okay. Those who have shown liberality to that. And here's a better example of their coat of arms, Deo Gratias. Okay, so by the grace of God, so it is. And more this appeal, okay, so begging from Mertonians to donate. Well, I shan't be putting my hand in my pocket to my old college, I can tell you that for free. Right, that's enough for the moment.